Hey guys, Sklar Brothers here with Daniel Van Kirk.
I am here.
And our guest on the show is our favorite murderer because she murders this episode. Karen Kilgariff, thanks for joining.
It was my pleasure. What a joy.
We talk about swords.
Oh, yeah.
Sword stores.
A guy who might have deserved to get attacked. Yeah. I'm not saying he did, but he might have.
He's an athlete.
Yeah.
He's an athlete.
That's all you need to know.
Talk about
Claudia and her life changes.
Tiny Sasquatches. Tiny Sasquatches.
And the Sheboygan Clogger.
We need the town's help on that one.
This is it. It is Sword Stores, Tiny Sasquatches, and the Sheboygan Clogger with Karen Kilgariff. You have to listen to this week's episode of Dumb People Town.
It's the Starburns Industries Tape of the Month Club. 12 original cassette tapes delivered to your door. Each month, you'll receive a crisp new cassette tape of auditory delights made by some of the most funky and creative artists around. Featuring Dino Stamatopoulos, Natalie Palamides, Johnny Pemberton, Dan Harmon, future Ladies of Wrestling, Alan Resnick and Dina Kelberman, Dynasty Handbag, Jeff B. Davis, Rob Schraub, Lance Bangs, DJ Doug Pound, Kron, Open Mike Eagle, Ron Lynch, and on and on and on. Subscribe now. $13 gets you a crisp, unique tape in the mail each month. For $20, you receive a portable cassette player so you can listen to your tapes on the go. Here's how to order. For credit card customers, please call 747-888-0945. That's 747-888-0945. Or save COD charges and log onto the World Wide Web at d.rip/sbi-press. It's a good deal.
Feral Audio.
We're recording.
Hi.
Hey.
Sorry about last week, guys. I'm real sorry about last week.
It was Halloween week.
It was a lot for me when you have kids. Also, I got a real bee in my bonnet about making my own Halloween costume, and I did this crazy Hedwig costume.
It was really good.
I know. I'll show it to you. It's in
can
my
I
closet.
Talk yet, or do I have to wait?
No, you can talk. You can talk. Rob Benedict is here, everybody. Rob Benedict.
Hey, guys. Supernatural's Rob Benedict.
Thank you.
He's Supernatural, but like everything that you've ever loved.
Biz, yes. Yeah. Thank you, Biz. I went on.
Everything.
I went to listen to a couple of the podcasts. Uh-huh. So I knew the lingo.
Yeah.
And the first one that came up when I go to the site is last week. So I was like, oh, this, you know, I settled in
without Busy.
Steve's like, so listen, Busy's not here. I'm like, well, I need to listen to
Busy's
Busy.
Quit the podcast.
No, but it doesn't fit into my life. I will say this. Like,
it doesn't fit into mine either. No, and I'm single without kids.
Right, exactly, which is what I'm saying. Like, it should be, it more fits into your life than it fits into mine. I've got a lot. I mean, there's like a lot always going. Rob and I have known each other 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. I always have a lot going on.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of what you've got going on.
I mean, it's a lot.
It's a lot. By the way, Hedwig killed it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was solid.
Hand sewed and painted and glued. And I really went for it. So
I went on some celeb best of list.
It did. That's good. Sometimes I feel like I don't get put on those because I'm not, you know, I don't know. It's not the right demo for me. I'm not like Joe Jonas.
Well, that's
I'm definitely not Joe Jonas.
Well, Joe Jonas.
Why is that the name I picked? Is he somebody that people care about?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Sometimes I see the Jonas Bros at Hugo's in West Hollywood. Do you guys eat at
Hugo's?
I've gotten food poisoning twice at that.
Are you serious?
And have only eaten there twice.
No.
Oh,
6 years apart.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I love Hugo.
I do too. I like the one in the Valley better because I haven't gotten food poisoning at that one.
I've never had food poisoning at Hugo's. And that used to be my office. I used to like roll calls there.
Yeah.
I would work there. I loved it back in the day when Mark and I first started dating.
Yeah. Well, it used to be what we would tell people, go there if you want to try to see a celebrity when I first moved out here.
For sure.
You know who was always there for a while? Is he in jail now? James Cromwell. You know James Cromwell?
I don't know him personally.
Why would he be in jail?
He might be in jail for some sort of obstruction.
Wasn't like, this a movie he was in?
No. Like, I think he... hold on, I gotta see. I'm gonna look it up. He, like, for protesting...
You're something. Right.
What?
You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he like went to jail.
Yeah, he got arrested for protesting. But I don't mean, think like, he's still in jail though.
Well, probably. I hope not.
You mean at the like the protest?
Like, like Standing 30th, Rock or something
listen,
like that.
June 30th, 2017, James Cromwell is going to jail.
Oh, wow. Is yeah. it Standing Rock? Is that what he was?
Possible. It's not. He's no New York plant protest.
Plant.
I hope it's not. No, I think it's maybe like a power plant.
Oh, that, okay. That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gas fired power plant. The site of a natural gas fired power plant was being built. Yeah, guilty of obstructing traffic at a December 2015 sit-in.
That's BS.
He's but after he did Babe, guys, he went fully vegan. I sat next wow. to him once at a dinner party. He was really delightful, but I always used to see him eating in Hugo's.
He's great in LA Confidential.
He is.
Oh my
he's
God.
He's great in everything.
Yeah. And he's been around for a long time. Like, what was he in? He was in a cult movie back in the day. Wasn't he in like, he was in like, not Clue, but like something from like the.
Yeah.
Am I IMDBing him?
Yeah, IMDB him.
Yeah, he's.
Not Clue, not.
He's the best.
But it's something, and he was like. He's like in his underwear at the end. I remember thinking of like James Cromwell in his pants underwear. On.
Was it, is it like an Altman movie or something?
Could be.
I always think of people in their maybe. Underwear in Altman movies. And also just like my favorite thing ever, Julianne Moore with her shirt on and no underwear or anything.
Oh my God.
When she's fighting in, what? Which one is that? Shortcuts.
Shortcuts. Yeah.
Shortcuts.
That's
so
like
good.
Such a genius thing. Because also like Mark and I have legitimately gotten into fights where I'm like, not wearing pants, but now you know too much. I don't understand the interface on the new IMDb.
All right, I'm looking. You have to first. You go to. I know it's difficult.
It's really
you
difficult
go to
for me.
And then just scroll on down.
The impact.
Your case on your phone has the Instagram symbol on it.
Yeah, it was given to me.
Instagram.
It was
they
given to me
Instagram.
From Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you go to their office?
I did actually go to their offices last summer, but this was just sent to me. RK281. Is that Jesus RKO 281? Christ. This man has, everything. I mean, he's got a billion things. We're never going to be able to find this.
No. I'm going to keep looking though.
Okay, you keep looking. So yeah, I did go into the Instagram offices last summer and they gave me like all of my important swear. Information. No. Like how many followers I have, where I should be building followers, how much
shit.
You guys, my, okay. So obviously you all know me for my Instagram story.
What
it's
Insta
not as my work as an actress, but, well, my personal Instagram account has increased. It was something insane. It was like from the month I started doing the Instagram stories to the next month, it increased 300%. And then it like kept like Whoa. Exponentially.
Of your followers?
Followers. Yeah. Like a year ago. Okay. So now let's check today.
Well, I noticed anytime you tag me in one of your stories, I get like a shitload of new followers.
It's so funny too. Like do you know also... for certain advertisers, the sweet spot is under 1 million followers because what they're looking for is high engagement. So it doesn't matter that I have 744,000 followers today. What do you have? You have like 500, 600, 7?
I don't
something.
Even know.
Jesus
you don't look?
Christ, you guys.
Robbie's got the
400 maybe.
Hold on, I'm going to look.
Guys, I've got like 48,000.
But so...
Not to brag.
Robbie has 436. But
damn.
So, but what they look at...
That's all alias.
It's all alias. It's Supernatural.
It's Supernatural, right? And Loudon Swain, his band that plays and people love.
I can't find it either, but James Cromwell has been in everything.
So
I
mean, much.
Guest starred in the Rockford Files. If I'm his agent, I go, James, let's not put Rockford Files on there. I just because...
Like, just like let's get rid of that one.
Yeah,
let's cut that one out.
Like I had the original 90210 as my was on the. It was like my first job.
Whoa,
guest star, you know. And I and after
oh
a while,
my God, that's
just,
amazing.
Yeah. When they remade the show that you were on, it's time to take that credit off the resume. You know what I mean?
You guys, my husband just texted me because I posted something on Instagram before you guys came over here, and I guess it was an autocorrect situation. Our cat's name is Gildo, but I apparently put Guido.
Guido. That's a great name for a cat.
Gildo. Wait, how do you spell Gildo, do you think?
G-I-L-D-O.
G-I-L-D-O. Gildo. Like dildo, but gildo. Okay. I just changed it.
It's like the male Gilda.
Gildo. Yeah. Gildo.
It's the masculine Gilda.
Mm-hmm. He's it's short for Guildenstern. They came with the names Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. And since I'm a theater nerd, I was like, that's cute. Let's keep them. So anyway, guys, again, sorry I missed the podcast last week. We got a lot going on. A lot's happening.
Yes. Yeah.
I rolled my ankle twice last week.
So sorry to hear that. Twice.
Robbie, I work out every day.
Second time, shame on you. Joining to work out after you sprain your ankle.
Here's what I'm going to say. Been very open about this. I suffer from anxiety and depression. I'm not currently medicated. And what I do is... with traditional medication. And what I do is I have to work out crazy every morning to get my endorphins going for the day, or things do not work out for me that day emotionally. Mm-hmm. And even still, sometimes it's not great. But that's why I like really am into my jumpy workout, because I get so many endorphins from it. So jumpy workout on Friday, I was kind of not paying attention. I rolled my ankle.
Ow.
It just rolled. I didn't fall down. It was a bad roll. It's like, fuck. I went home and I put on a really cute outfit, and my shoes had... Robbie's just laughing at me.
For the workout?
Cute outfit.
For the workout?
After my workout. Okay. I went home and I showered and I put on a really cute outfit and I went out for the day. And I like kind of was having this like lovely day by myself where I went... We have to re-wallpaper the dining room. If you remember the cats, the water damage.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to re-wallpaper the dining room. So I'm looking for... wallpaper samples. I spent like an hour in there, and then I went to the Grove and I like tried on some other shoes because they were having a sale, and then I got a little something to eat and I came home. And
where'd you eat at the Grove?
No, not at the Grove.
Farmer's Market?
No, because I'm on the Whole 30. I went to the health food grocery store Erewhon.
Oh, okay.
Here in Los Angeles. Yeah. I got a za'atar chicken breast and some zoodles.
Zucchini noodles?
Zucchini noodles. That's right. Yeah.
You should have named your cat Zoodles, by the way.
Zoodles is amazing. Well, Mark pointed out last week, he's like, we should have named them Chips and Salsa. Like, ooh. What were we thinking? Those are the things Mark and I love the most, are Chips and Salsa. As it stands, Gildo and Rosie.
Let me ask you this. Because I've been curious, after you finish the Whole 30,
yeah,
because you've been tweeting about the cinnamon gummies.
I really want them, yeah.
What happens after the Whole 30? You just start eating again whatever you want?
Well, no, I mean, they have a plan in the book and then on the website where you kind of like introduce food back in slowly but surely.
So you're not eating like food right now?
Gummies. No. I'm eating protein, vegetables, and fruit, but I'm not eating any grains, no dairy, no sugar, no soy, no fun, right?
No, yeah, I'm kidding. For real.
No alcohol.
What?
Mark and I are both doing it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's lost 40 pounds. He looks...
Really?
No.
Emaciated.
But he does look really skinny. He does look so skinny. He's already skinny.
What's
so
sad skinny. About me is you were like, I can't do that. And I'm going, cool, I could do that. And no alcohol. That was made me go...
No.
I have to say, it's been the one thing that Mark... I mean, we've been smoking pot, but like, it's the one thing where... We're bummed. Mm-hmm. Like, we love tequila. And we have, and also, Robbie has two kids. He knows the pain. Mm-hmm. And, like, you have those nights where you're like, let's have a tequila.
Yeah.
Daddy needs a drink. We can't do that.
Wow. At least you got the weed. That helps.
The weed always helps.
Although you can't have the munchies. That kills you. You can't have
the munchies.
I don't get the munchies.
I kind of don't either, Steve. But do you think it's because we're just smoking, like, I'm doing like the medicinal high CBD stuff, and I think that just eliminates the munchies.
Maybe. I smoke regular and I don't, I've never gotten the munchies.
Huh. Yeah, I don't really get them. I don't really get them. I do.
Yeah.
No, I know that. Sure.
I mean, not like you did in like my 20s, where it was all like bag of Doritos.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh, now it's like
that does sound nice.
Ben and Jerry's.
Ooh, not bad. Go sugar now.
Sugar, yeah.
Last
consistency in my mouth, right? I like the taste of ice cream with a little bit of Heath bar in it.
You need a crunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ice cream is something that I think we can all agree on is delicious. Here's what I am going to say, Mark, and I have a thing. We have it together, that there is nothing sadder than a grown man eating an ice cream cone.
That's pretty sad.
Like, yeah. And every time we see it, we try to take a picture for one another. It is like depressing as fuck.
Yeah.
And if you are a grown man listening, and I'm looking at you too right now, just get a cup. Don't do the cone.
Right. I never do the cone.
Okay, I mean, you know better. You instinctually know better. Yeah. It is a sad look for a grown
although
man.
Although a waffle cone is really good.
How do you pass up a waffle cone? Yeah.
What about if you just go to Jenny's and you get one of those like waffle discs on the side?
Oh.
Okay. Sure,
even if you're with your kids, I'm still saying a grown man with a cone is like
sadder though if you're by yourself. That's super
sitting on a bench.
Yeah.
The saddest
and a little creepy.
The saddest is by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what we take pictures of and send back and forth. But
all right.
That's
good to know.
So fucking funny.
Duly noted. Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
I rarely get ice cream out like that, but when I do, I'm throwing on a cone, man, because I'm 13 again. Yeah. I loves me some ice cream on cones, but now I know. I never without the kids. I never do that kind of thing.
Always with the kids, Robbie, or in the privacy of your own home.
Sure. Except even then, that's right out of the carton.
But also never in your car by yourself.
Oh, God, no.
Can you imagine?
Nothing in your car by yourself. Holy
shit. That should be illegal.
Today, I was starving. I got my hair done and like was running errands, and I needed to be back here by 3:30 for this business, and I was starving, and I was like, fuck, what am I gonna eat on the Whole 30? I ordered this thing that I knew to pick up to go, and I got it in the car. I was like, I'm just gonna do it, and I just scarfed while I was driving, which is so gross and sad. And I looked over, and there was like a man in a van next to me just like staring as I was shoveling chicken and peppers into my mouth.
I went to an audition once in the Valley, and I was like way early because there was no traffic, and I was like, oh, what am I gonna do now? So I went to the Gelson's on Laurel Canyon, you know, in Riverside. And I just went and I got a salad at the salad bar, and I was sitting in my car in the parking lot eating a salad. Like, it was lunch. I mean, I just had to eat something before my audition. I was wasting time. And then I go to my audition, come out, and someone on Twitter has tagged me. They were in the parking lot and saw me and took a photo of me eating in
my
car.
That's my favorite thing ever. I did have a moment today because I had been paparazzied at two of my locations. And sometimes not sometimes. What they do is that they follow you from location to location just to get the maximum amount of photos of you walking with bags.
Right.
And I had the thought that like, this guy could still be next to me or behind me, and if he took a picture, it just would be me shoveling like food into my mouth, and then it'll end up, that is the picture that will end up in Stars They're Just Like Us.
Right.
Yeah.
They eat on the go.
They eat illegally in their car.
That's crazy. So you rolled your ankle.
So rolled my ankle, took Saturday off. Oh, so wait, my cute outfit. So I came home. I came home and I was like, oh, my ankle feels weird. And I took off my boots. It was like the size of like a softball.
Oh my
God. Ankle was huge. I'd been wearing heels. I like came home after rolling my ankle like an idiot, put on high heeled boots and like went out for my day. I came home. My ankle's the size of a softball. I'm like, uh-oh, now I've done it. I got an ice pack out. I elevated, iced. I kind of wrapped it up. And then I took Saturday off. I kept icing periodically throughout the day. And then it felt like it was like kind of better, and then I could tape it up on Sunday and go. And so I took one day off. I went Sunday, and Sunday was fine. I was real gentle on it. And that night it was swollen again, but I had this acupuncturist lady come and she did her deal. And then I woke up Monday morning and it looked pretty good. It looks like reasonable. Taped it up again, went to my bouncy workout. The last song, rolled the fucking ankle.
Ow.
I know. And then I was like, oh, so I'm such an idiot. And I left and I was really upset about it because it was just so dumb that I did it again. And so I've been icing it and hopefully it's okay. And then also I was thinking, do you guys remember, you know, I read People magazine religiously. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember the guy that was on American Idol who died last year after spraining his ankle?
What?
I remember somebody
had a blood clot.
Yes. And he literally is like my age. He was like 38 years old.
That's how he died?
Yes. He fucking had a sprained ankle. He had rolled his ankle. And
he's devastated right now.
And then he got a blood clot and died. And I had a real panic. I have two children. I cannot die right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not going to die.
Cricket's too little. And so then that night I had the conversation with Mark, which is this. I'm going to tell all of you. I need him to remarry sooner rather than later because they're girls. Uh-huh. And as great as he is, they need a woman in their lives, a mom. But I want her to be kind of a hippie because I'm kind of a hippie.
What if it's somebody you know? Can it be someone you know?
I suggested someone.
Okay. Oh my God.
Can we understudy already. I suggested someone that is still single and she's in her 40s and we know peripherally. But like via Instagram, I feel like she would be a good, I'll tell you later.
I feel like I know, but you could tell me later.
Okay, I'll tell you later. This is not for everyone. Okay. This is just for Mark and maybe Robbie to know. Yeah. You know her, obviously.
Yeah.
And and if he can't bring himself to do that, then he has to let my best friend Emily move in and raise my daughters with him. Which that's also cool. Sounds like a movie. Are you okay, Steve? Are you going to spit that water out?
I think he could. I
can't. Oh my God! I was
actually, both might happen. He'll marry the hippie, and Emily will come in and help raise the kids.
I'm fine with that. I'm totally fine with that.
Or he'll let Emily and the hippie raise the kid, and he'll just go off on his midlife crisis.
Never. Mark is so obsessed with those little weirdos.
Yeah.
He could never. He's like Robbie. They're too like weirdly invested in their children.
Yeah. We're both weird.
Modern men.
That's right.
Do you have two girls?
No.
A boy and a girl.
Boy and a girl.
So what was his response? Just curious. Like, was he like, cool?
He was listening. There's no right answer. And he knows that.
You're very much alive.
Yeah. And he was just like, okay. I got it.
Yeah.
He did not reciprocate. Like, he did not tell me what I should do. So now I'm feeling a little bit like all bets are off.
Yeah.
Totally was like, okay, well, this is, yeah, you can stop now. I was like, but I think you might want to know this, that I feel this way, that I would like for that to happen.
Well, you're not going to die. I don't think that's going to kill you.
Right. So anyway, so I've been resting it. I've been icing it. I've been taping it. If I had had time today, I was going to go to cryo.
Wait, so what?
Freeze it? You're gonna freeze your leg? Yeah,
that's
freeze
what it would be?
Cryo? Have you ever done cryo?
No.
You maybe can't because of your stroke.
Probably.
Which is what we're going to talk about today.
And I also can't do roller coasters anymore, which sucks.
That's really? It does not seem like a bummer to me at all.
I fucking love roller coasters.
Are you kidding?
I don't like roller coasters. No.
Robbie, of course you do.
Yeah, that's so much fun. Yeah, I know that.
No, cryo is amazing. And if you haven't done it, it's like this freezing cold chamber that you go into and you burn like 1,000 calories, but and it like reduces all the inflammation in your body. And if you have any injuries, it like helps heal the injuries. And in fact, like, I think it was Dwayne Wade that made it popular. Like, he was the one that started doing it. And at the cryo place that I go to, when you first register, it says, how did you hear about us? And it says like newspaper, TV, like internet, Dwayne Wade. Like, you literally can check that box that you like read an interview with Dwayne Wade. So you go into this chamber. It's
fully immersed.
It's a chamber. It's like a room. It's a freezing cold room. You wear like socks up to your knees. Men have to wear like special thermal underwear to protect their junk.
Wow. Junk protector.
You wear earmuffs. You can wear a hat.
What do women wear?
I personally wear my underwear and bra. Like, I wear like an underwear bra situation. And the socks.
How big is the
and the earbud, ear.
How big is the room or whatever?
It's little. It's like a little closet. Okay. And it's freezing fucking cold. And you can barely see because there's so much ice being like pumped into it.
Wow.
And you do it between 1 and 3 minutes. 1 is the least. 3 is the most they'll let you do at a time. Although I have seen people come out, wait 5 minutes and go back in. And they'll play any song for you. So normally I go with Kanye West.
And you go in for one song.
I go in for a song, yeah. I try to make it to 3, but normally I'm like 2, 2 and a half, and I'm out.
And are you standing or sitting?
You're standing, and it is, you think you're going to die. And you have to breathe. You're wearing a face mask, too. I forgot to say that part. Like, just like a medical face mask. You have to breathe really slowly in
You'll
and out.
Your lungs.
Because you, like,
lungs
will freeze your shit if you don't.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And you can feel like your nose hairs, like you can feel it all starting to freeze, and you do kind of panic a little bit. There is, like, the first time you do it, you do get like a little panicky. So it's so unnatural to be in that kind of cold. And also you're like kind of naked. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you're just wearing underwear.
So vulnerable.
But then you come out and it's like as if you have a brand new body.
Wow.
Well, you know, our friend Scott Speedman immerses himself in those ice baths.
Sure.
It's
yeah.
the same thing.
Yeah.
He's it's made, the same
he's
principle.
Made me do it. Yeah.
And it's, yeah. yeah. If
and
you
you're
can
the whole
do
time
that,
you're going,
yeah.
I didn't know that they get me out. But you just get out of the bath. But this sounds like, you know, you're kind of trapped in a room.
Yeah. I mean, people say it's like why they look young or like right. helps you to look young. They
Is
do
there
cryo.
A panic button?
You can just leave the room.
Okay, and you can walk out.
Yeah.
I've heard, what are the things where you float in water?
Deprivation tanks, yeah. yeah.
That sounds freaky.
I did yeah. that in New York.
How was that?
Fine. I don't know. It was fine. I was like not interested. It was really, it was actually kind of boring to me. I couldn't like get into it. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I'm like, am I supposed to be tripping out? Like,
because you're enclosed in a small space, right?
Mm-hmm. Mine, I chose the like non-claustrophobic space
okay.
because I get claustrophobia.
Yeah. yeah.
And that actually, the first time I did cryo, I walked in and walked out because I got so claustrophobic because you can't see anything because of mm-hmm. the frost everywhere or like the mm-hmm. the white, like it looks like steam. It's the opposite of steam, whatever, freezing cold air.
Mm-hmm. Frost.
Frost.
Yeah.
Okay. I like walked in and was like, nope, can't do this. Can't do this. And then the girl told me a trick. There's a window in the chamber that's like, you know, a little bit above eye level. So okay. people can't really see in. And she's like, you just have to focus on the window and you can like kind of see out and then you won't feel claustrophobic. And I did that. That helps. It's crazy though. But then they'll do localized. Like I wanted to go for my ankle today and just do localized.
Meaning you just like stick your foot in.
No, they have like a little machine, like a hose, a giant hose mm-hmm. that pumps the freezing cold air out onto you, and they have a special skin thermometer, so they're always measuring the temperature of your skin to make sure that it doesn't drop below whatever where you skin get, dies.
I once fell asleep with an ice pack on my back and got frostbite on my back.
Yeah, so they
no
they,
way.
They're True. Like yeah. they monitor so that you don't get frostbite on your skin because you can kill your skin that way. But when you do it, you do that one for like 5 minutes. They'll do localized for 5 minutes. And it's the equivalent of icing your knee or your joint or your ankle, whatever. It's the equivalent of icing it for over 2 hours.
Oh my God.
So wow. it's like, cool. you really walk out of there and you're like, you feel brand new.
Huh.
Steve, did you just lose skin or what? Like,
yeah, it would. I fell asleep. I had a really bad
this
back.
Like
and I laid on an ice pack without putting a cloth or anything over it. Just the ice pack on my bare skin. And fucking fell asleep, woke up like in a lot of pain.
Oh my God.
And like I rolled over and I was like, oh my fucking back. And I went and I looked in the mirror and it was like black.
Bruised.
It was like, it looked like a really dark
That's
bruise.
That's really gross.
Oh, and then over the next like week or so, like the skin just kind of died and peeled off. And
oh,
yeah.
Oh no. I hate that.
I got cupped the other day.
I do cupping.
Yeah. I hadn't done it in like 20 years. I feel like I had a bad one 20 years ago, which is I got bruised and angry,
yeah.
but nothing happened. But this was actually helped.
Yeah.
The cupping?
Yeah. I've been having shoulder problems. And oh. yeah, this guy came out of the house and he did the, I mean, my back looks like someone beat
I've
me up.
I've got a great guy real close to here that Walton Goggins gave me.
Oh, cool.
And he does the cupping and acupuncture. That's right. Walton Goggins.
I love Walton Goggins.
He's the best.
Yeah.
But he's right down the street and he's amazing. And I was having horrible shoulder problems last year and I went to him and he really helped, but also it's emotional.
Yeah, well, this was emotional too.
I'm
this
going
guy
to my
house.
Acupuncturist tomorrow for
are you?
No, I mean shoulder pain
cupping.
Is emotional.
Right, yeah.
Shoulder pain, it's like
and honestly him working on it was emotional.
Did you start crying?
No, we didn't start crying.
It's like, okay, Robbie.
It's all right.
It was misty-eyed.
Okay, so the reason why Rob Benedict is here, other than we love him and he's been a friend of mine for 12 years, is that Robbie had a really crazy thing happen to him a few years ago. How many years now? Five?
Four.
Four?
2013. October 2013, I was at a fan convention for Supernatural that was taking place in Toronto. And
you were 42?
Yeah. Let's see, 43.
43.
So I was 43. Yeah. And I was on stage during a Q&A, and a couple actors came on stage goofing around. We're like, yeah, Robbie, because I'm a little guy, people do this. And they kind of picked me up and turned me upside down and kind of shook me around and then put me back up again. And nothing happened. I just,
by the way, I didn't know that part.
I finished the Q&A, and you know, I actually sang a song. It was very emotional, and because an emotional song, and didn't think anything of it. And then I'm like back in the green room, and all of a sudden I got this huge, like this headache over here. And it was like, it was one of those headaches that was like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? It's like when you drink too much or something and you're like, I think I'm going to throw up. It was that sort of,
it was like that fast.
That fast and that intense. And I was like, that's not right. But of course I kind of ignored it. Didn't say anything to anybody. I took some Advil, and then, my friend Richard and I were talking with a friend of his, and I was trying to ask him a question, and I was like, what about, it's like when you're trying to think of something,
Jesus
but
Christ.
Nothing ever came, right? And this happened for like 5 minutes, and he's going, what? They're doing a bit. They're like, are you doing a bit? And I was like, you know, like,
oh, shit, right? Robbie, so, this is making
could you
me
say
really
other
upset.
Shit, or you just
no,
kind of get
couldn't
that?
No, he couldn't say anything.
I can say anything. Like, my brain went blank, and then I finally, words came back, and I was like, whoa. And then we went in the bathroom, me and Rich, and I was like, Rich, between me and you, I felt like I was having a stroke. That's what I said. And we laughed. I kept, everything's fine. It was all back. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a panic attack. I didn't know what it was.
Robbie also, to be fair, suffers from some panic.
Yeah.
Has fainted before when you've been standing up at people's weddings.
That's right. I have.
Like, it's not like,
don't lock the knees, everybody.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Robbie locked his knees and passed the fuck out.
I passed the fuck out. I passed out in public maybe 3 or 4 times. Not in a long time, but but now, you know, now I'm on, you know, medication for my depression, my anxiety. Right, I mean, that's
what
thing.
Do you take?
I take the, what with the...
Lexapro?
No.
Lexapro, that's what I'm on.
Cetraline. What is it called? What's the... The name,
Wellbutrin, Paxil, Zoloft.
No, Zoloft.
Okay.
Yeah, Zoloft is my jam.
Great.
For now, like 10 years now.
Yeah.
And interestingly, after the stroke, they're like up to the Zoloft because anxiety and depression goes like right along with brain injury, right? Mm, so they're like, so they upped. I was on like 150 milligrams for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like, I've been coming down for the past 2 years because I want to eventually get off of it.
Sure.
Like I'm coming down.
You'll join me in my Lec Fit classes when you do.
Exactly.
We'll be jumping on trampolines together.
I know. I enjoy your Insta posts of
that
class.
Thanks,
anyway, so then I'm back in it. I'm taking photographs. I'm signing autographs. At the very end of the day, everybody's done, and my autograph's going long. And so I'm signing autographs, and all the other actors have left. And someone comes up to me and says, hey, during your Q&A, this is like just a fan, this woman, said, you said you were married. What's your anniversary? I'm just curious. And I was like, which is the most awkward time to have a stroke when you're trying to answer a question. I could not. It just happened again.
Robbie's also been married for
a long time.
Ever.
Yeah, like 22 years. And so I was like, and this was like nothing. You couldn't, it was like you didn't know the language. You didn't know any language. It's like when you're trying to think, it's that feeling like you can't.
And were you inside your brain like
when
thinking?
I couldn't think of Zoloft just now. It's that feeling, but nothing ever came.
Right.
But do you know, like when you're inside your brain and this is happening to you in that moment, it's probably hard to remember. Were you like, fuck? Like what?
Panic.
You know what I mean?
You're panicking? But I thought I was having a panic attack. That's all I could imagine is I'm having a panic attack. I excused myself through sign language. I was like, you know, and I went back to the bathroom. I went into the stall and I was like, in my mind, I'm going, what the fuck's going on? But I didn't have any words. I couldn't speak. And so I came back out. I ended up finishing autographs. I would hug people and they try to ask me questions. I'm like, and I'd hug them. I just was, cause I couldn't say anything. I could
grab. Rob is so dedicated to the fans that while
I would use that as an excuse to get out,
I was going to finish those autographs.
Was finishing his autographs and hugging people.
Right. So then,
this is what a good guy Rob Benedict is.
So at that time, our rooms that we would stay in were in the same hotel. So the sort of handlers that are your assistant for the weekend, they took me back up to my room and I'm miming come into the room. Right. And they both were like, okay, these two younger women were like, what's going on here? You know, with this creepo. Exactly. But they came, you know, they're friends. They came in and I was like, I couldn't not tell them what was wrong. So they were like, I was like, and then I mimed, go ahead and go. I kind of did my hand like, yeah, go. So they left.
Oh my God.
And then, the phone rings And it's my friend Richard, who was out with all the actors that were had already finished. And they're all out having a steak dinner in Toronto. And he's like, hey, man, come on out. And I was like, and he was like, what's going on with you? And I was like, and he's like, you're hungry. That's the problem. You're hungry. Get over here. This is where we are. And I was like, and then there's a pause. And she's like, I'm coming back for you. So he gets in a cab, and he gets a cab back to the hotel, which is, Rich and I were friends at the time, but now, of course, we're like best friends. We were friends at the time, but it was like a weird sort of, like, that probably saved my life or made it so that I could talk again, because if he would have left me alone, I just wanted to go to sleep, yeah. And I would have stroked out, and who knows what.
Oh, my God.
And he came over, and he came back to the place. He was like, all right, let's get you something to eat. He knocked on my door, and I was like, ugh. And he was like, are we going to get you something to eat? We ordered food, and he puts on the football game. It's Sunday Night Football. So he's like, "What do you know these teams?" I was like, mm-hmm. He's like, who's the quarterback? And I was like, banana, chair, table. Like, I couldn't, like, all of a sudden I started misassociating words to things.
You were saying wrong words.
Wrong words.
Oh, fuck. My God.
It's like the Twilight Zone.
And I don't even remember that. That's Richard told me that. All I remember is that I couldn't talk, but he said you started saying words.
Like nonsense.
Describing the quarterback as banana or whatever. And so he called another friend who had said his grandfather had a stroke. And he put me on the phone with the guy. And I remember, it's my friend Misha, who's ironically the guy who turned me upside down on stage.
Misha.
And Misha says, who's a lovely, wonderful humanitarian guy. He really is. Like, it couldn't have, like, God, I'm so sad that this happened to Misha because, like, he's such a great guy. And who knows if that really did it. That's what we're guessing gave me the stroke. Right. We don't know. So then Misha said, you know, put Rich back on. And he was like, get him to the hospital. So we pulled those handlers. He pulled those handlers back in. We got a car. They put me in a car, and we're all driving to a hospital. And it just so happens the closest hospital happened to be a hospital with a stroke wing.
Jeez.
And that was like that was like one real saving grace. And we go in, and there's like nobody in the waiting room. It's Canada. There's nobody in the ER.
It's all free.
It's all free if you're Canadian.
Oh yeah. Shit.
Not so. I sat down at the interview. You know, when you go into ER and they interview you first.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
So what's your name? And I was like, I looked at Rich. I'm like, I couldn't say my name. So she's like, Rich always tells a joke that she's like pushing a button under the table. And she's like, okay, why don't you come with me? You know, and before I knew it, I'm on a gurney. I'm getting a CAT scan. Next thing you know, I'm at this table. I'm surrounded by doctors. And the doctor says, so you're having a stroke. And Rich and I are like, wait, what the fuck? I was...
Rich is joking about this.
Well, really, we're just like 6 hours ago, I'm talking, what? And yet, there was a part of me that was like, yeah, of course I am. Of course I'm having a stroke.
Right.
It made complete, perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's even earlier when I was like, I thought I was having a stroke. Like, because I'm that anxious kind of guy, I go, okay, I've been wishing this on myself, and now it's fucking happening.
Manifest it.
Yeah. So so he was like, so here's the deal. We have to give you this shot, which is going to break the clot. That's I had a full dissection of my carotid artery. So this artery on the left side of my neck that takes blood to your head, you have two of them, one on each side. This one was severed, and there was a clot, and so it wasn't even, so I didn't even have a pulse over here. I only had one pulse.
How did it sever?
That's what they don't know.
Jesus,
they were like,
Christ.
The first thing they asked me in the ER, he's like, so this doctor, he was real like on a hard nose, not very, bedside manner. Yeah. And he was like, have you been in a car accident in the last 3 days? I'm like, no, I hit my head like 7 months ago. And he's like, no. Like, this would be in the window of this week. And he said, he's like, have you been to a chiropractor? I'm just saying, he said that, which, you know, and then I was like, no. And I said, you know, and Richard's going, well, you know, on stage, they kind of did this bit with it. He said, it could have been that, but who knows? And then he said, anyway, we're giving this shot, and there is an 11% chance that this is going to kill you. So we need you to give us a verbal okay.
Fuck off. Are you kidding?
And all I go, no, I hadn't said anything. And all of a sudden I go, Molly, who's Molly? Yeah. And Richard goes, that's his wife. That's his wife is Molly. He wants to ask Molly, you know, and the doctor goes, I'll never forget. He goes, Molly can't help you now. Molly can't help you now.
And oh my God. For me, I'm going to start crying now.
Me in my life too. I was like, Because really, when it comes down to it, at the end of our fucking day, it's just you. It doesn't matter if you have kids or you're married. It's really just you. And so I just go, I just nodded, right? You know, and so sure enough.
Did your wife know you were in the hospital at this point?
No.
Right?
No.
She didn't know anything.
Right after this, Richard called her. She was actually doing business in Cleveland. Ugh. And we were in Toronto. So she ended up renting a car, driving up, telling the border police that she didn't have her passport, but her husband was sick and they let her through and she got to me the next day. Anyway, so he gave me this, literally the nurse is like at my arm with the syringe, like, what are we doing? You know? And I was like,
oh my God.
And yeah, so it was, you know, and then I was in the ICU for a bit and, Misha and the other actors were all there and they're all making phone calls on my behalf. Like they're trying to get Molly through the border. They're trying to make phone calls for her. Our friend Bruce, they flew him out from LA. Bruce
I
McCoy.
Remember.
You know Bruce McCoy?
I know he is, yeah.
They flew him out. He's my best friend. They flew him out from LA and he actually brought Molly's passport with him so we could get home. Anyway, just in calling people, letting my friends know. I know busy. You, Mark, got a call, like starting a email chain, you know, so people knew. And,
it was the worst.
It was awful.
And we didn't know how bad. I'm going to start crying. I always start crying. And we didn't know how bad or.
You're gonna make me start crying.
We didn't know how bad or like if Rob was gonna be okay, and obviously like we all have kids that are the same age, and like, and he was really, I mean, aside from Nikki almost dying from swine flu, mm-hmm. which we talked, did you listen to that one?
No, I didn't hear that. That's great.
I mean, this felt, Nikki almost dying from swine flu was like crazy. Mm-hmm. This felt like, oh fuck, our friend is gonna die. Like,
yeah,
it was awful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think in those, you know, when you're the person who's sick, it's almost a different experience, right? My only goal was to learn how to talk again. I mean, I almost had it easier, and it's everyone else, the surviving people around you that you feel. I mean, my wife to this day, like she had a different experience than I had.
Right.
It was a fucking nightmare for her. And it was a nightmare for me too, but in a different kind of way. Right. I literally had to just try to learn how to say table. Like they would wake me up on the hour that first night when it was awful. It was at its worst. I mean, ICU is the worst.
Yeah.
I'm hooked up to all these machines. You've got to like pee in a little like cup in front of pee. Like it's the worst, right? And they wake me up on the hour to make sure I was still alive.
Were you incapacitated at all, or were you still able to like sit up or roll
yeah,
over?
I could move. That's the weird thing about it is that you looked
weren't
at me
in a coma or asleep or anything. Just
and did you like? How soon do they know that the shot works once they give it to you?
24 hours.
Oh my God.
24 hours.
That's a long
until that 11% chance of dying is
a
done.
Long fucking time.
Until they know that, okay, well, you're not probably not going to die from that shot.
Shit.
And it did end up saving my life, and it saved my life. And I think it's the reason that I'm talking today and that I'm really okay. My, you know, it's a miracle of a story, really, as much of a nightmare as it was. In Toronto, they told me my carotid artery would never work again. So I'd do the rest of my life with one pulse over here. And you have this thing in the back of your brain called the circle of Willis that's only there to, in case this happens, it turns on and pumps blood from one side of your head to the other side. So there's blood on all sides of your
brain. So your artery on the one side is never, it's still dead or
no? They said it would never work again. And then I came back here and they said, in the United States, they said, actually probably 50% chance it'll work again. And a couple months later, I went in for a sonogram and it was fucking, it's back. It's working.
Wow.
It's all working. It healed itself. And the doctor said that I probably have a really good, like hearty, I don't know what it would be. I imagine like a worm getting cut in half, you know, they grow that, like they have a little, like an extra power ring.
Yeah.
So it's like extra. So it's actually got a good, like base to it now. I think it's in good shape.
So the severed, it healed itself. They didn't sew it or anything.
I never had surgery or anything like that. I just had to learn how to talk again, which is a deal.
We need to talk about you learning to talk again, especially because I mean, you're an actor. Like, right. This is your livelihood.
It's a deal breaker.
It's a fuck, and a singer.
Right.
This is like everything that you fucking do.
Right.
When they say that it's severed,
They does call it a full dissection of the carotid artery.
Does it mean that it collapses?
It's a full dissection of the carotid artery. It doesn't mean that it went like a hose that got snapped in half and it's just dangling strings, right?
Right.
It just means that there was a full tear that went all the way into the artery. So it was a full tear, not a partial tear, but like a full tear. So the outside the artery tore.
So does the blood...
So the blood...
Stops? Clots?
It clots. So immediately your blood, this is my takeaway from this experience, is your body is incredibly fragile and your body is incredibly resilient.
Like, yeah, it's like the perfect machine, right?
Your blood is made to coagulate if something like that happens, so that it stops, and then like little bits of the clot went up through the artery into my brain and lodged themselves where speech is formed. And they kill brain cells.
Oh my God.
So even if right now I had a scan, you'd see the dead black spots in my brain where that was. My brain had to relearn how to speak by reforming pathways.
Going around them, right?
Literally reforming pathways in your brain. It's crazy.
Wow.
Crazy, crazy resilient, right? So that's the thing I wrestle with every day, even now. I mean, I check my pulse all the time. I'm always like, yeah, well, like... So if you shook me hello or you pat me on the back real hard, I'm like, I'm checking my pulse.
I'm never patting you on the back or shaking you ever.
But at the same time.
Did you have to have a talk with Speedman?
Go gentle, yeah. Yeah, Speedman's like having a wild animal in your house.
He really is. But in a china shop.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was a long path of recovery. But
so you're in Toronto for like a week?
No, about 2 weeks. I was there for two weekends. I think it was like 12 days or something.
Molly got to fly back.
Yeah, Molly was there. They basically kept me there until there was no danger of, because you have so much compression when you fly. Worried about it happening again on the plane.
I would be so scared to fly.
Yeah.
I would want to drive.
Yeah, for sure.
I was on these, I wanted to see the kids, and it was, you know, but I was on these extreme blood thinners. I was on those like old people blood thinners, like Warafin.
Oh, right.
Which is basically rat poison, is what you give rats to like bleed out and die. So
great stuff.
It was awful. And you had to get your blood tested every 2 days to make sure the levels are okay. Cause if you take too much, then you bleed out. So there's it's not like take one of these every day. It's like, you know, we tested your blood, take a half.
Right.
So you have to monitor how much you're taking
every day.
But where do you bleed out? Like where?
Your body just bleeds out.
Yeah.
Just bleeds out, Steve. Steve, even I know that. You just bleed out. Wait, so you're there for 2 weeks.
Molly was with me. Bruce was there. Rich was there for a little bit of it. Then Rich went home and Bruce
was there. What solidified your best friendship?
Yeah. I mean, we definitely have this bond now, right? Yeah. I mean, kind of saved my life and I owe him that. And
I think about this shit all the time, but that decision, he's like out drinking with their friends in Toronto, having steaks, whatever, calls his friend who he's friends with, but they're not like BFFs.
Right.
And then he's like, you know what? Something's not right here. I'm going to go back. He so easily could have been like, all right, dude, live your life. See you tomorrow.
You know, he jokes like Rob would never pass up a martini and a steak. You know what I mean? Like, if Rob's not coming up, something's wrong. Because
that is actually true.
I have such FOMO. I've got to be where the party is.
No one has more FOMO. We could do an entire episode about FOMO and Robbie and I would be the guests.
Right.
I mean, like, yes. No, the only person that has more FOMO than me is Robbie Benedict.
That's so true.
In fact, one of my favorite things to do is if I'm with one of our other friends, we have like this very specific group of friends that we go to Coachella with. I do like to send Robbie a photo of us hanging out without him, just because I know he'll be like, wait, where are you guys? What are you guys doing? Although it's been better in the last few years because you're always gone on these conferences and you're like, you know, living that life, which is great and so much fun for you.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it doesn't land as hard when I send you pictures of like me and Josh and Molly hanging out.
I know. Because I literally couldn't be there even if I
you're like, well, I'm in Australia, guys, but have fun.
Yeah, totally.
But so, okay, so 2 weeks, you come,
how
you fly back.
How long before you could start actually talking?
The rehab,
So the doctor was telling Bruce, like, day two, he was like, just try to get him to talk. And I remember...
Did you want to talk, or was there a point where you're just like, it's exhausting trying to talk?
It was exhausting, but I wanted to. It was so frustrating, but I wanted to. The other weird thing about it, it's aphasia is what it's called, the term.
Yes.
The other thing about...
Do you listen to that Pine Grove song, Aphasia?
Uh-uh.
Do you know Pine Grove?
No.
Oh, you fucking love them, Rob.
Great.
They're from New Jersey. They're amazing, and they have an amazing song called Aphasia. I have stress-induced aphasia from time to time.
Yeah, and honestly, when I couldn't tell you Zoloft a minute ago, I got a panic.
Because I get it all the time.
When we start talking about this joke, a lot of times it'll happen. I'll start stuttering and stuff because I'm thinking about it, and I have a panic about every time I forget something.
It's stressful.
There was a time when I had forgotten to take my Lexapro for like 3 or 4 days in a row.
What are you doing?
This was years ago. And I was driving to Largo to do a show with Jenny Slate, sorry.
And it's different Jenny. Vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
Both great though.
One's a comedian. Great. So I was driving to Largo and I hadn't seen Jenny in a long time. And in my head, I was like, oh my God, I'm really excited to see, just thinking of it, I couldn't think of her name. And I was like, really starting to freak out. And then I got there and I was like, hey, and I was forgetting people's fucking names.
Yeah.
Just from not taking my...
Oh, wow.
Brain zap. You get Lexapro, you get brain zaps.
Brain zaps, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
When you go off Lexapro, you get brain zaps.
When you go Zoloft, you get more like it's a body zap.
Yeah.
Where you just feel like you're going to pass out. You feel like you get this like, oh, like you need to pass out. Weird.
It's all weird.
But yeah, so anyway, he's trying to get him to talk. So he was trying to get me to talk. So he'd say, what's your favorite actor? And I remember one time it was like playing charades and I'm trying to mime Jeff Bridges. And it took me, I was doing bowling for Big Lebowski. It just took me forever until finally he said, Jeff Bridges? I was like, Jeff Bridges. And that's the thing about aphasia is if they say it, you say it right back.
Right.
And then 10 seconds later, they're like, who's your favorite actor? I'm like,
wow.
Yeah. So they would wake me up every hour and they'd show me these pictures, a table, a feather, a hammock, a pencil. And what is that? And I go, and I'm thinking in my mind, it's that thing you eat on. We're sitting at it right now. It's a, but in my, what I can say is like,
in your head, do you know what it is?
In my mind, I know.
You don't have the word.
I know. Yes, I have the word. I have the concept of that. You show me a picture of a chair. I know the concept is that's the thing people sit on, but I couldn't say that thing people or sit, you know, I can't say anything. I'm just like,
and you can't say chair.
Right. So you're just like, yeah, and so then the nurse would say, chair, and I go, chair, chair, chair. What is that?
Wow, that quick after. Wow.
It's bizarre. It was the most... So then the gap started to close, where she'd say, what's that? And I go, chair, you know, and then 2 minutes later, I would forget. But then the gap would close. What's that? 10 seconds later, what's that? Chair. And then slowly things would start to come back in. And it took... by the time I went home, I'd say I had 40% of my words back. My kids noticed. That was really hard. They both were crying because I would try to talk and I couldn't say everything.
Right. And that's scary. They were littler then.
Yeah. And so I did a lot of word games. People gave me books. I'd do word games all the time. Speech therapy. And then finally, you know, in the next several months, the words just started to come back. But I had a horrible speech impediment.
Right.
I had like a career-ending
like stutter?
Speech. Like a...
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I had nerve damage from the stroke. Somehow I had nerve damage in my tongue. So when I stuck my tongue out, it would go all the way to one side because it was paralyzed on one side.
Right.
So I was paralyzed on this side. Yeah. I was just talking. Yeah. So it was that too.
I mean, it would be career ending, or like you'd have just like a wholly different career that would very, very different.
I know. Sometimes I wish I still had the list because
maybe you'd be working more, Robbie. Yeah. We don't know.
It would really put me in a box.
Character actor Rob Benedict. Yeah.
Well, like who's the actor that has the eyes that kind of shift to the side? He has that disease where his eyes shift back and forth. He used to be in Oliver Stone movies. That actor whose eyes go like this. Steve, they go like...
Oliver Stone.
He was in JFK.
Well,
he used to work all the time for a specific period of time, and he was like... He'd had these eyes that were like... It's a disease where your irises go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Now.
Anyway.
But yeah, I would have been
that guy with a lisp. So, thank God I healed and, you know... And you know, I feel like now I'm probably at 99.9%, you know, I mean,
nystagmus is a condition that causes involuntary rapid movement of one or both eyes.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Nystagmus. I don't know how to say this, guys. I'm sorry.
Nystagmus.
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 It's probably that.
Nystagmus. Nystagmus. Involuntary eye movements. Nystagmus. Fantastic. Let's look up nystagmus actor, and we're going to get to the bottom of this.
Are you an expert now in strokes? Are you?
Yes.
I mean, just
you
from,
work with stroke organizations now or charities?
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff to and you know, also yes, with the National Stroke Association, I give a lot. We raise a lot of money for it. Mm. I've done campaigns where I have these T-shirts that say something about stroke, and then people buy the T-shirt, and then the money all goes to the Stroke Association. And then the fans of Supernatural are just, they're pretty amazing, very, very loyal and committed fans. Right. And they've been amazing. They do their own charities for the strokes because of what happened to me.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it really is.
This guy?
Yep, exactly.
His name is Pruitt Taylor Vince, and apparently he's on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, Pruitt Taylor Vince.
That guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know that guy?
Yep.
Yeah. He's a great actor.
He has nystagmus.
Yeah. Yeah. Check it out.
Nystagmus.
Nystagmus.
So I do.
But wait, how long did the speech impediment last for? I can't remember.
Well, once those words came back, I still had a lisp for...
That lisp.
Eight months.
Yeah, I was going to say six.
And it was... and I remember thinking, like, is this just not going to go away? And literally, it felt like one morning it just was gone. It was just was like finally like, because they kept telling me it's a nerve damage thing and nerves just take a long time to heal. Mm-hmm. And that's what it was.
Is there anything you can take like for nerve damage, like or for nerves?
No, the only stuff I took, even though this had nothing to do with my cholesterol level or anything like that, they gave me that cholesterol lowering drug that everybody takes, the statin.
Yep.
They gave me that for a while. And now I just take aspirin every day.
Did you find the antidepressants were useful? Like, did you go through a period? I know that traumatic brain injury and maybe I guess strokes are in the same category. Like people get that severe depression from it. Yeah. Did you have that?
Yeah, I did. And excessive fatigue too. That's another thing.
Like you just had to nap all the time.
Yeah. Cause your brain I think is just healing.
Was there ever pain involved with this?
No, headache. That's it. Headache.
Was the headache just the one day that you had the stroke or did it linger?
No, it happened for that first week. Yeah. I would have headaches. But it was, no, it really, that's what was weird. If you came in and saw me in the hospitable bed, you saw me in the hospitable bed, see, totally healed. You would have, I looked exactly, I mean, Speepin came up.
Because he
says it happened on his turf, because he's from Toronto.
He's such a jerk.
And so
turf.
He came in and I'm totally, look fine.
Right.
And you're like, Robbie, you look great. And I go, yeah.
God.
So
I seem to remember, I mean, growing up in high school and college, like in health classes and stuff. And I don't hear this as much anymore, but they would always teach everyone should be aware of the signs of a stroke.
Right.
Because it, like in your case, you can fucking save someone's life just from recognizing he can't say a fucking word.
Right. And that's, you know, thank God Richard, just his instincts did that. But yeah, I did this thing because FAST is what they say, fast, right?
Yes.
Think fast. Get him to the hospital fast.
Right, because if you get that shot, which has an 11% chance of killing you, but if you get the shot, it saves your life and saves your ability to speak and motor skills and all that.
Right. So FAST is actually an anachronism?
Yes.
Anachronism. So
an acronym.
Acronym.
Acronym. An acronym or acronym?
Acronym.
Acronym. An acronym.
An acronym.
An acronym.
Bingo. So F is face. A is face if your face is drooping.
Droops.
A is arms if an arm can't move or you have limited movement.
S is speech.
S is speech. And T is, used to be time, but now they're saying T is tongue. If you have that tongue thing that I have, you stick your tongue out
and it goes to one side.
Just get to the hospital right away. It's all about time.
Guys, fast.
Yeah.
Let's remember it.
So I did this thing where I put it on the board and I did it. And literally, a handful of people have come up to me and said, like, that saved my grandfather's life. That thing.
Yes.
And it saved my grandfather's life. And that's
Well, hopefully
happened.
We'll help some people today.
Yeah. We're doctors. I mean, helping people.
We're no doctors.
We're no doctors, but you should 100% know the signs of a stroke.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially, like, I do think, I mean, it's amazing that, like, you help, you know, save the life of a grandfather. But I think for me, as your friend, what was so shocking was Robbie's age and level of health. I mean, look at this man. It's great looking, in shape, works out.
Yeah, I was like working
out. Eats all right.
Yeah.
Drinks a lot.
Drinks a lot, but drinks a lot. Drinks a lot, but at the same time.
At the same time. sometimes.
Drinks a heavy amount.
No, you're good. But I mean, just like, you know, early 40s. Like, this is not someone that was a grandpa. This is like our friend who's in his early 40s.
It can also hit. You know, I heard an interview with Aubrey Plaza, who had a stroke in her 20s.
What? I heard that. Why did she have a stroke in her 20s?
Just was at a party and couldn't fucking talk.
Or Frankie Muniz had a stroke when he was like 18, right? Yep. And now he's on Dancing with the Stars, guys. So anything is possible. I was on Malcolm in the Middle when I was a teen actor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was 19 when I was on Malcolm in the Middle.
It was a good show.
I don't remember. I never really watched it. And I don't even know if I watched. Fox. I know it was.
Yeah.
I'm friends with Linwood Boomer, the creator.
Oh, I bet he has a lot of money.
Pretty nice house.
Yeah,
I bet. I went to their house. Him and Tracy Katsky, his wife, she produced a pilot I did with Craig Robinson. And we had a screening of the pilot at their house. And it was so crazy that I was like, if you ever need a house sitter, because they had a fucking water slide. I was like, if you ever need a house sitter, I will house it. And they're like, actually, we're going to France next week.
No.
Do you want to feed our dogs? And I was like, yes.
Yep.
And I stayed there, swam. They have a zip line. They have
what?
Trampoline.
Do they have kids?
They have kids. Yeah.
It'd be awesome. It's just for them.
No.
Yeah. I like that idea.
That's awesome. And wait, what did Aubrey Plaza, did she say anything about that?
I don't remember. I think it's on Mark Maron's podcast. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, people come out of the woodwork going, oh, I had a stroke actually. And
I talked to a friend. I was at UCB one. I don't know if I should say their name, but I was at UCB one night and I'd been having bouts of vertigo. And I was like, hey, have you ever had vertigo? Did you ever get dizzy? And my friend was like, I had vertigo once, but it turned out I had a stroke. I was like, oh, God damn it.
Aubrey Plaza had a stroke when she was 20 years old.
Yep.
That caused aphasia and some, let's see, temporarily paralyzed. An expressive aphasia.
I would love to. I mean, that's the thing. Is like, I love to talk to, you know, would love to talk to her about it. I'm just incredibly intimidated whenever I meet her. I'll be fine.
I've known her for a long time. She's very sweet.
She's very sweet, but she's got that cold, dead stare, and it really intimidates me.
I could understand what was happening, but I couldn't talk or communicate. The star explained. Right. Like, you could say something, and I would know what you meant, but I couldn't express it or even write it. That was the weirdest part.
Right.
When it first happened,
They asked me if I could write too. I tried to write, and I couldn't.
To me, when it first happened to me, I was paralyzed, but I was so young that my brain healed itself really fast.
Yeah.
I was lucky.
Well, and that's what they said to me too. Like, actually I'm not 20, but my, you know, being
relative youth,
The other funny thing is like when I left the hospital, they gave you this pamphlet, like, so you had a stroke.
No.
And on the, yeah.
Welcome to the stroke family.
Exactly. No.
And on the cover, it's like two really old people like holding each other.
And you're like, I am.
That ain't me.
No.
And the
look
other,
at this.
And the other funny thing is checking out of a hospital in Canada is like checking out of a hotel because they give you the bill.
They give you a super bill.
As an American, you've got to pay the bill. So we had to like call our credit card companies and like, hey, so you're going to get this heavy, big time charge. And yeah, they were like, okay, so that's going to be $85,000.
And they don't deal with insurance at all.
No,
so you
we
can't,
have to do it all.
I mean, I get that. Like, I get that you would have to submit the bills or whatever. But that seems crazy. How does one pay $85,000 at a time?
Like lines of credit and stuff. But then,
how the fuck do you do that?
Well, we just charged it.
What if you can't?
Yeah, I don't know.
What if you say, what if you're, okay, guys.
Okay.
I wish we could go back in time.
Okay.
Anyone listening in Canada, find this out for me. What if you're from the US and you're like, I can't pay this bill at all.
What do they do?
Eventually just goes to debt collectors.
You think? Really?
You're haunted by that for fucking forever.
Really? You think?
I think so, yeah.
You have to pay it off in installments?
Yeah.
Or month by month?
They usually will.
Or maybe they set up a payment plan.
They'll set up a payment plan.
Like, you guys probably like paid it because you knew you had good insurance. You would get the money back.
We
did. You would get it back.
Yeah.
Or most of it or whatever.
Yeah, most of it. SAG was not so great. But my wife has really good insurance through her work. And so that's
thank God.
Yeah.
Molly can help you now.
Exactly. Doc. Take that, Doc.
So
I hate hearing that SAG wasn't great. And you're like, I was there for
an acting related gig,
that's actor related.
Yeah. She had United Healthcare, and United at the time, she doesn't anymore, but United Healthcare was like, they had this special like section for people who have got sick out of the country. So they literally booked our flights home.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yeah, they that's like great. Really flew us home, and they, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
First class tickets too. It was like,
yeah. Hey. I mean, by the way, you've just had a fucking stroke. Right. You should be flying first class.
Yeah. Anyways, in a total panic.
Is there anything?
The whole time I'm going, I'm gonna die.
The whole time you've got your hand on your artery.
Like, did they give you like? Did you get to take some Ativan or some stuff on the way home, like some anti-anxiety drugs?
Yeah, they gave me a. They gave me what's the one that starts with a Z? Not Zoloft, but Xanax.
Xanax. I love a Xanax.
Xanax is good.
Listen. What are there any things that you in the last 4 years like you've had to stay away from, you can't do, you can't?
Well, the doctor said, you know, he said,
so no roller coasters,
right? He basically said because then I came here back to the United States, and I saw a neurologist at UCLA that I went to for a little bit, but he was like, when my artery healed, he was like, you're good to go. And I was like, but, and he's like, yeah, you know, don't do any full contact sports, don't do any
football,
no more
for
football
you.
For me, no more boxing. And he's like, and I would avoid roller coasters, you know, anything that would give you kind of whiplash, that kind of whiplash thing. But he was like, look at it like you had a broken leg and the little leg healed. No reason to think it would break again.
God forbid, if you got into a car accident or something, would you like immediately go to the hospital and get it checked out?
Well, I should probably, I guess. I don't, you know.
I mean, this is a hypothetical. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'd do. I haven't really thought about that. I probably should, you know. I'm definitely hyper aware of my body now more than ever. Not that I'm taking great care of it. I mean, I'm trying. And I'm, you know what I mean?
Do you work out?
I do. I work out 3 times a week with a trainer.
Do you lift weights?
I do.
And does your trainer know about the...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. And I don't do... Like, I used to do kind of... what's it called? CrossFit. I don't do that anymore. Right now, I just like... Just working out to get in shape. I don't do crazy stuff.
To keep it in shape.
Just to keep it in shape.
Yeah.
As much as I can. And, you know, going on these cons, like, you know, that takes a lot of energy.
What about the flights? What about those, like, long-haul flights you go on for the cons?
Yeah,
like,
it's okay.
Italy and all over the world, guys. Robbie goes all over the world for these cons.
Yeah, you do the same as we all should do. You get up and you walk up and down and get the blood circulating. Yeah.
Right.
You know.
I do, like, crazy, like, leg...
Oh, yeah.
Lifts and movements.
Do you wear like compression socks?
Yeah,
when
do you?
You travel.
Well, that wasn't his problem though. You didn't have a blood clot that started in your leg.
No, I don't. I did.
That's like a pulmonary embolism, isn't it? Is the ones that start in your legs?
Good call.
Yeah,
I think.
Boom!
You really are doctors.
I'm not a doctor.
Wow, honorary.
Or am I?
So now it's basically just living my life. You know.
Wow, God, so fast is what you need to remember, guys. Mm-hmm. If you take something away from this.
Yep.
Other than this crazy story.
Yeah. But hey.
Know the signs.
Yeah.
Be it also, I think the moral of this story is be a fucking good friend, guys.
Yeah.
Be a Richard.
Yeah, he was an MVP.
Show up. Don't be a jerk. If you're in Toronto,
if
you're having your martinis.
If you have a friend who can't talk, don't finish your steak. Go get your friend.
You know what's fun too is every year we go back to
Toronto,
and on Sunday night everybody stays because it's Canadian Thanksgiving on Monday always when we're up there. So the guys who shoot the show in Vancouver, Supernatural in Vancouver, they've got the next day off, so everybody stays Sunday night, and we all go out and have the Rob Benedict Memorial Stroke Dinner is what we call it. I'm alive. The joke's like, guys, I'm alive. I'm right here. But anyway, I got to go out and finish the meal I never made.
Yay! Yeah. I love that. That's a great ending.
Best steak I've ever had is in Toronto.
Really? Where?
A place called Chiado, which is Portuguese. So it's mostly seafood.
Steve, please stop.
Wow.
That's not true.
It is true. I was there for the Toronto Film Festival, not to name drop, but with Ellen Page. We went to this place, Chiado, and I don't like seafood, so I had the steak.
Oh my God.
And she had the octopus, and we were both like, I think we should cancel our flight tomorrow.
And eat.
And come back here tomorrow night.
Oh my God.
Seriously?
For real.
And you did.
And what's the name of this restaurant in Toronto?
Chiado.
Huh. Is it famous?
I don't know.
Have you looked it up?
No.
All right, well, I don't
know. But it's amazing.
Awesome. Yeah. And so every year we go back and we do that. We have the joke too, was that it's the same dinner they've been holding for me for a year. but yeah, we go back still, and you know, it's turned into this, you know, finding joy in it, right? It's a miracle I'm here, and it's all good. It's all good.
I mean, it is a fucking miracle.
Yeah.
Live and it was life.
Super scary.
Exactly.
Shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
I know, but it's also like, yeah, I think that remembering that, like, paying attention to people and getting outside of yourself. Chiato. I found it.
C-H-A. Yeah, that's it.
Chiato,
it's on,
guys.
Like, college in Ossington, I think.
Wow. Great.
Listen.
We're no doctors. Brought to you by
Chiato. You're going back soon, I bet, huh?
To Toronto? I just went. I was just there.
Oh, that was just it? Yeah, you just had it?
It was in October. Their Canadian. Their Thanksgiving is different than ours.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it's when I was...
Beginning of October.
When I haven't worked in Canada in a million years.
Yeah?
I used to work there all the time. And now, no, not so much.
I've never worked there.
It's probably because I've said, I won't work anywhere except for Los Angeles because of my children.
That's probably why.
Yeah, that's probably it.
They shoot all those CW shows up there.
I'm over the age limit, Robbie.
Come to Supernatural. There's
a ton of other shows that shoot up there.
Yes, yeah. But I have given the directive. I actually was like, not annoyed at my agents, but like I sent this email last night about some show that I was like, wait, guys, why wasn't I considered for this thing? And I know that I keep saying that I'm not really an actress anymore, but I am. And I was like, wait, what happened with this show? Like, I love this idea and I love this person and da 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 da. And they wrote back, well, you told us you will not work outside of Los Angeles, so we can't. We can only do what you tell us, busy.
I was like, prefer to only work outside of Los Angeles.
You know, but you don't have two kids that are in school. True. And you're not a mom. And true. It's fucking hard, man. They're already going to be in therapy because I'm an actress. And you know what I mean? And like all the stuff that comes along with that. And like to then on top of it be like, I'm sorry, I'll see you in 2 weekends. Like, I can't do that to those little people. They didn't sign up for this. I'm the asshole that decided to have them.
Yeah.
You know? I got to like be good to them. Vice Principals was different only because they were shooting it over the summer and whole
North
family
Carolina?
South Charleston, there. greatest place ever.
I
Charleston.
Love the Carolinas.
I really fell in love.
Didn't you go back just to visit
we've gone
friends?
Back every summer since. That's I like awesome. Made local friends. Birdie and Cricket. Yeah, Cricket made a friend. She did. She's so little. Well, Robbie, we're so glad you're alive.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for letting me come on and talk about
Thanks for talking yeah. about it. And I really think that this is going to be helpful to people out there in the world. And even if it's not, it's a crazy fucking story. So.
At the end of the day, at least it's a great story.
Where can people find you on social networking? Is it just at Rob Benedict?
At Rob Benedict on Twitter and at Instagram, it's at R.O. Benedict. There's just one B.
But you're verified. You've got the check.
Yeah.
So you look for that check, people.
That's right. That's
and then
right.
get back to me. And then you're in Richard's show.
Yeah. Kings of Con is the show that we did about sort of a comedy backstage at conventions. So season one is on iTunes, Amazon.
Great.
Go check it out. Season two is in the works right now.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Robbie, thanks so much. All right, guys. Well, listen. Thus concludes another episode of We're No Doctors. Take everything that we say with a grain of salt, though, because...
We're no doctors.
Bye.
I'm going to go have a nervous breakdown.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Feral
Audio. Hey, everyone. It's me, Steve. AG, you know. I'm here to let you know that Starburns Audio has a new survey. Just go to starburns.audio/survey. We're trying to get to know our listeners a little bit better, and it only takes a few minutes, I promise, but it makes a massive difference to the podcasters at Starburns Audio. Believe me, we are trying to get to know a little bit more about you, what you like, what you don't like, ideas you may have to make things run smoother. This really is a helpful survey. Because currently podcasting is still kind of like the Wild West. We still don't know a lot. It's a new medium. So your responses make everything a lot easier. It's incredibly helpful and incredibly quick. So again, just go to starburns.audio/survey and fill it out. Help a brother out, all right? Thanks, guys.
Hello. I'm Dave Ross.
Hey, and I'm Hampton Yunt.
And we host Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio.
That's right. It's a podcast about suicide, but not to make light of it. We actually talk about suicidal thoughts, depression, kind of with a sense of levity that Dave and I have with each other. He's my best friend. Come on.
Yeah, we're buddies. Suicide Buddies.
That's the title.
One of our favorite episodes that we've recorded so far is about this guy, Jan Pataki, who was a Polish aristocrat in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And he, one of the reasons it's possible that he killed himself is that he thought he was a werewolf.
Whoa.
Check out a clip. It also makes me think, like, we were talking about in the Norway black metal episode, how, like, just the culture of your surroundings can affect you. Like, yeah. He's in a castle in Poland. He's like, I mean, if you lived in a castle in Poland and no one knew anything about anything, you might be like, I'm a bat. I'm probably a bat.
That's like literally what happened to Batman. He literally is in his mansion. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I'm a bat.
I'm a
bat that helps people.
I'm a bat that helps people.
I'm a rich...
I don't know what you want from me. And my girlfriend, she's a cat. She's a cat.
My girlfriend's a cat.
She steals things. She's a woman who steals things. She's a cat. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat.
I help people.
She's a cat. We fight a penguin.
My